Today's reading is Psalm 131, and this can be found in your Bibles on page 625. That's Psalm 131, page 625. My heart is not proud, Lord. My eyes are not haughty. I do not concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me. But I have calmed and quieted myself. I am like a weaned child like a weaned child, I am content. Israel, put your hope in the Lord, both now and forevermore.
Thanks, Philippa. I'd like us all to think of the last time we felt perfectly at peace. Maybe you're a summer person, and so you're thinking about relaxing on the beach on a sun lounger, nice and warm, no clouds in the sky, that sort of thing. Or maybe you're more autumnal, and you're looking forward to sitting back in your favourite chair with a really hot mug in your hands next to the fire. Peace. No anxiety, no agenda. Just rest. And I think we all long for that kind of deep contentment of our souls. But most of us try to find it in one of two wrong ways. So here are two kind of false paths to contentment. The first is the never stop path. This is life driven by achievement, productivity, and control. We keep telling ourselves, I'll rest when the inbox is clear. I'll rest when the kids are settled, when the finances are sorted, when this season is over. But of course, we all know there's always another when, isn't there? We never quite arrive. We never quite reach that point where we can finally rest. And if you're always busy like that, this psalm is going to challenge you. The second false path to contentment is the switch off path. This is chasing contentment without God. It's not the restless striving of the first path. It's hollow comfort. We unplug from responsibility. We numb the mind with entertainment. We avoid anything that feels like hard work. And yes, doing that, we find comfort for a while, but it doesn't last. It's kind of like lying back on a lilo in a swimming pool with a cold drink in hand, but the plug has been pulled and all the water is slowly draining away. If your rest looks like that, then this psalm is going to challenge you just as much. So Psalm 131 offers a better way. This is the Christian path to true contentment, where we see that contentment isn't possible without worship. It's not the restless striving of the first path. It's not the hollow comfort of the second. It's a deep, durable rest of heart that comes from humility, trust, and hope in God. This psalm only has three verses, but each one is really rich. The sermon isn't going to be over in 3 minutes. Each one takes us another step down the path towards true contentment. And do remember that, as with every psalm, this psalm is most true on the lips of Jesus. So if you find yourself thinking after this psalm, oh man, I'm doing such a bad job at contentment, then don't beat yourself up. Remember that Jesus has lived this out perfectly on behalf of all who follow him. Perfection is his job, not ours. So here's the first step towards true contentment. Verse 1, lay down your pride. My heart is not proud, Lord. My eyes are not haughty. I do not concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me. That first false path, the never stop path, it's often fueled with pride. Pride says, I can carry this. I can do this all by myself. I can fix it. I can run my life on my terms. But David begins this psalm by saying, no, that's not me, Lord. I'm not going to choose that way. Pick out a few words that might need explaining from this. In the Bible, the heart is the control center of life. So a proud heart is one that trusts itself above God. A proud heart says, I've got this. I can handle this, even without God's help. Haughty eyes, that's another phrase in that verse. Haughty eyes are pride on display. It's the kind of proud look down your nose at others that says, I'm better than them. They might not be able to handle life, but I can carry much more than any of them can. And great matters, that's interesting, isn't it? I do not concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful to me. That refers to burdens and plans that are outside of our control, things that should be left in God's hands. And David's saying no to that. David's not saying no to ambition. There's nothing necessarily wrong with that. He's saying no to trying to control what only God can control. David has learned to say no to these things. No to a proud heart, no to haughty eyes, no to concerning himself with great matters. Have we? Imagine you're packing for a holiday and you're determined to fit everything into your suitcase. I think we've all been there. At first it was fine, it was the clothes, the toiletries, the flip-flops, but then you start adding things just in case. A spare towel, a coat, an extra jumper, more shoes. And by the end, you're really struggling to get it closed, aren't you? You're sitting on it, straining at the zip. Eventually you get it and you haul it into the boot of your car like a power lifter. You do get to the airport, just, but as soon as you take it out, of course it springs open and there's clothes all over the place. Nightmare. A proud life works in exactly the same way as that. The more we stuff in, the heavier it gets until eventually it just bursts open under the strain. And some of us live like that. We do. Packing our lives with responsibilities, decisions, and worries that we were never meant to carry. Pride says, I can handle it all. But Psalm 131 teaches that we have to leave some things out of our case. We have to let God carry what only he can. So the first step to true contentment is to let God be God. We need to lay down the pride which tries to carry everything ourselves. What would this look like for a few people? If you're a worrier, you don't have to run through every single scenario in your head. That belongs in God's suitcase, not yours. If you're a fixer, you don't have to fix everyone's problems. That belongs in God's suitcase, not yours. If you're an overthinker, you don't have to have every single theological mystery tied up neatly with a bow. That belongs in God's suitcase, not yours. And if you're exploring Christianity for the first time, you don't have to work hard to put yourself in God's good books. That belongs in his suitcase, not yours. Leaving all this stuff out takes an awful lot of humility. It's not easy. But if we've got the Spirit of Christ in us, it is something we can do. Because think about what Christ was like. He shows us humility perfectly. Philippians 2 says that though equal with God, he humbled himself by becoming one of us, taking the role of a servant, entrusting everything to his Father. And surely if even the Son of God could let go of his rights and rest in the Father's will, then surely we can as well. Lay down your pride. Second step on the path to true contentment is to rest in God's presence. And we see that in verse 2. But I have calmed and quietened myself. I'm like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child, I am content. If the first false route to contentment was the never stop path, the second, as I've mentioned, is the switch off path, looking for rest without God. And rest without God can only ever be surface level. It's, as I said before, it's like lying back on a lilo while all the water in the pool is slowly draining away. But David's rest here is different. It's deep, it's secure, it's lasting. He has calmed and quietened his soul, not by switching off, but by resting in God's presence. And the image here is not of a newborn child hungry for milk. It's a weaned child. Now, even though our daughter is only 5 months old, the difference in her now compared to when she was a newborn is utterly staggering. So in the early days, there were nights that seemed to go on and on and on forever. I can't complain, really. Mel did almost all of the hard work. But just a few months on, and Hallie wants mum for more than just food. I've got a video on my phone of the first time she laughed, and I just love looking at it. Mel stood Hallie up on her lap, and Mel smiled at Hallie, and immediately Hallie just gave out the best gurgly laugh, really beautiful sound. She wasn't wanting milk, wanting feeding in that moment. She was just content, happy, spending time having connection with mum. A newborn feeds every couple of hours, but an older child is content simply enjoying that relationship with their mother. They're not clinging for food, they're just enjoying mum. And toddlers even more so, they'll just climb onto a parent's lap just to be held. No demands, no fuss, just stillness. And that is the picture that David paints of true contentment. For many of us, our prayers probably lean more towards the cries of an unweaned child, don't they? We're mostly telling God what we need. And of course, God does want us to share our needs. But as we mature, that brings growth. We begin to delight in God himself, not just what he can provide for us. We start to say things like prayers like this: Lord, you are enough. I'm content whether you give me what I want or not. Again, Jesus exemplifies this. He does it perfectly. Think about, it happens in Mark chapter 4, I think. There's a massive storm and the disciples are terrified, panicking in this boat tossed by the waves. But what's Jesus doing? He's quiet. He's calm. He's asleep, even while all this craziness is going on around him. And that's Psalm 131 in action, isn't it? Calm and quiet, because he knows his Father is in control. Disciples panicking, he's there resting in his Father's care. And that same security is ours if we're believers, if we're following Jesus. This kind of contentment takes practice, like newborns. It's something we have to grow into as believers. What might it look like for you to rest in God's presence? Maybe it would look like waking up, and instead of picking up your phone and scrolling for 10 minutes, just leaving that to one side and just enjoying what God's saying in his word. You don't have to read 5 chapters, of course, but you could just read a paragraph and enjoy what God's going to say to you that day. Or when you pray, maybe it's just pausing before getting to the shopping list of things we want God to do for us. And just in the quiet, just reminding yourself of something God has said the previous Sunday, or something, a characteristic of God that's really precious to you, and just say, thank you, Lord. That's beautiful. That's lovely. Maybe it's when worries arise, instead of going into crisis mode straight away, choosing to worship instead. You might want to sing a hymn in that moment where those anxious thoughts arise, or you might just open Psalm 131 and say those words aloud. All of these things are so much better than just switching off in front of Netflix or social media or a lie-in. Those things, yes, do provide temporary comfort, but they will not calm and quiet your soul. They cannot. The second step to true contentment is to rest in God's presence. And the third and final step to true contentment is to hope in the Lord. Verse 3. Israel, put your hope in the Lord both now and forevermore. David ends this psalm with a call to all of God's people. Contentment is not just an individual thing. It's something that all of God's people as a community are invited into. And notice where the hope is placed. Not better circumstances, not personal achievement, not human leaders, but the Lord himself. I think we know that hope in the Bible is a lot more secure, a lot more solid than the way we're frequently using it in our culture. But what do you hope will bring you contentment? What do you hope will bring you rest and peace? If you put your hope in a better job, a new relationship, a new house, an extension, perfect health, Sure, those things might come. They might. But they also might be taken away. They might. You'll never find contentment if your hope is in that direction. You'll always be frustrated. You'll always have a restless heart because they're not secure. Hope in the Lord is different. He never changes. He never fails. He's never broken a single one of his promises. David says, hope in the Lord now and forevermore. Now and forevermore. So that means in today's worries and in eternity's joys. So right now, whatever you walked in here carrying, you can choose to place that in his hands and find rest. And forevermore. There's a day coming where all strivings will cease, all tears will be wiped away, and we will be perfectly content in his presence. That's promised for all who believe in Jesus. What does it look like for us to hope in the Lord? When life feels uncertain, anchor your hope in God's character, not in what you can control. A way that you could do this or help yourself to learn this kind of attitude would be to memorize a verse of the Bible. For example, Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 to 23. I'm too nervous to try and memorize it myself because I'll get it wrong. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. If we could commit that to memory, that would really help us when life feels uncertain. What about when the future feels empty, where you're just not sure what's going to happen next? Fill your mind with the promise of eternity. Read Revelation chapter 21 and picture the day where God himself will dwell with his people. What about when life is going well? Don't shift your hope onto the blessings themselves. Don't go, oh, this is brilliant. I've got that new house. I've got that new job. The bank account's looking under control. Don't allow your hope to rest there. Instead, hold them with open hands, enjoy them as gifts, and trust the giver. Make sure your hope is still on him. Or what about when you failed? Remember that your hope is not in your track record, but in Jesus' finished work. If you're in him, your future with God is secure. And that's worth dwelling on. Make sure that truth has really sunk in, that you've really grasped hold of it. The reason, the only reason that any of us can hope in the Lord now and forevermore is if Jesus has secured that future. At the cross, he dealt with the sin, dealt with our sin and brought us peace. In his resurrection, he opened the way to life with God forever. But it is our responsibility to respond to what Jesus has done. Until you've responded, until you've said, yes, Jesus, save me, help me, be my Lord, be my Savior, your future's not secure. But the moment you do respond to Jesus, that future is guaranteed, and you can put all your hope in that and know that it's never going to change. Without him, our hope is fragile. It can be blown over by the next crisis. But with him, our hope is anchored in something unshakable. So this psalm ends with an invitation that we're going to respond to. Put your hope in the Lord. Whether you've been walking with him for decades or whether you're just beginning to explore faith, you can entrust yourself to him today and he will never let you down. We all long for contentment, that deep rest of the soul. The world offers us those two false paths, the never stop path, the switch off path. Let's make sure we're following the better path in Psalm 131 to true contentment. Lay down your pride. Let God carry what only he can. Rest in his presence. Find your quiet not in distractions, but in him. And hope in the Lord. Anchor your heart in the one who will hold you both now and forevermore. This kind of contentment is not beyond you. It's not only for naturally chilled people or the spiritually elite. It's for anyone who will trust in the Lord, who quiets our hearts and holds our future secure in Christ. Put your hope in the Lord, both now and forevermore. Let's pray. Father God, please forgive us for our many failings. Forgive us for always being so busy and distracted and looking to what's next instead of resting in your presence. Forgive us for trying to switch off and escape and leaving you out of our rest completely. Father, we pray that you would teach us in your wisdom how to find true contentment as an act of worship, just resting in your presence. Father, please help us to lay down our pride. Please help us to hope in you instead of anything else. And may this week look completely different as we know what you have done for us in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.